Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Welcome to the Road of Correction Show with your host, Ricardo Bezalel.
Whoa, whoa, yeah. Whoa, whoa. Some people search for a start, they search for an end. They want a reason, a purpose, a place to stand. But there's a voice that's been calling since time began. A holy sound that fills up all the land. It is the eternal voice of Yeshua, the Messiah, the God of heaven who became a man. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. The beginning, the ending, don't you know? Which is and which was and which is to come. The Almighty One, the Eternal King of all creation. Jesus the Christ said, I am Alpha and Omega. The first and the last, I am He that liveth and was dead. And now I'm alive again forever and ever. And behold, eternal future, I see the eternal past. Every moment, every second, I know it all. But they crucified Him and put Him in a grave. They seal up the stone, but He broke the chain of death. And He came out of a grave, out of hell itself, and showed Himself to His New Testament church. And He calmed the raging sea of unbelief. Now He's got a victory for you.
Welcome to the Road of Correction program with your host here, Ricardo Bezalel. And the song which I just finished playing there is called I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And it's the sounds of Ruth and Boaz singing that for us. Our discussion today centers on the subject of faith. faith. You hear people talk about faith. You hear people say, I belong to the faith community. You hear people say, I have faith for this. I have faith for this. I have faith for that. And by faith, I can do this. By faith, I can do that. By faith, I hope. And sometimes you wonder, do people actually understand what this faith is? And how do we actually measure that faith? What is the faith? The word faith actually means a persuasion, that is a credence or moral conviction or doctrinal conviction. In other words, when we're talking about the Bible itself, faith means the truthfulness of God. So the truthfulness of God, it means also especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. That is what faith is, actually. Reliance upon Christ for salvation. So abstractly, it's constancy in such profession. That when we say profession, we're talking about the declaration that which you believe, the standard of what you believe. So by extension, it is the system of the gospel itself. It's an assurance, it's a belief, it's in believing, it's fidelity, it's holding it to be true. Whatever God has said in the scriptures, you hold that to be true, and that is what faith is. So the most important aspect then of dealing with the aspect with the subject of faith is having the correct knowledge, because you may actually have faith in the wrong type of doctrine, in the wrong type of information, in the wrong type of construction of a belief system. And if your faith is then based on something which is false, it doesn't matter how sincere you are. It doesn't matter how sold out you are. You could even give yourself to be killed off or to be burnt in fire. But if that which you are convicted about is fundamentally wrong, or it's an error, then the outcome or the end result or the conclusion of the matter of your faith is a big loss, because sincerity does not translate to truth. Sincerity does not line up to be correctness, simply because you are sincere, simply because you mean what you say and you're doing that which you believe. It doesn't mean that you are correct. So in talking about faith, we are saying the standard measure of faith is actually the reliance upon Christ for salvation. Anything else outside that is not faith, is just a conviction towards something. True faith, biblical faith, is a reliance upon the resurrected Savior Jesus Christ for salvation. That is what is called faith. Anything else you might mention out there is not faith. So now we are aware of how to narrow down the aspect of what faith is. We cannot just go around there and say, oh, if you're sitting on a chair, then you've got faith that that chair is going to hold you up. If you take a journey on an aeroplane, then you've got that is gonna take you to the journey of to the destination of where you want to go. And if you if you go to somebody's house, you've got faith that maybe they're gonna receive you, and all this kind of different varieties of faith. Yeah, that may be as it may be, but in biblical sense, in the sense of the doctrine of Christ, faith is a very narrow, single-minded aspect and single-minded entity, single-minded thing, and you cannot have variations of this faith. It's not a spectrum. We are talking of the doctrine of Christ here, and in our narrative, in our discussion today, we are saying that faith is simply a reliance on Christ, and on Christ alone for salvation. And salvation is actually being rescued from burning in hell. That is what salvation is. You are being taken out of that pathway which was going to lead you to hell. And Christ has accomplished that. And when we have that assurance that Christ has done what he needed to do in order for us not to end up in hell, that, my friend, is what is the purity and the essence of the singular faith, which is what God is all about. So if you go into the scriptures, we read from Hebrews chapter 11 on verse 1, it says that now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We can have this to say, we hope by faith. Faith is the substance. So what is the substance? The substance of faith is actually... it says now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is from the from the ESV. But if we go on to the King James, it says that the King James says now faith is where is the King James here? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. The Berean Literal Standard says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not being seen. And then the ESV is what we read earlier, which says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The New Living Translation says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see, right? So, it's the reality of what we hope for. We hope for eternal life. We hope that we are not going to end up in hell burning with the devil. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. We don't know what the afterlife is like. We don't know what happens when a human body leaves this earth. We don't know what happens when somebody is pronounced dead. What exactly is the death process? Those who are alive don't know that. And those who have died cannot come back to this world to tell the living what it is all about. But there is only one man who has done that, and it is Jesus Christ himself. He went through the gateway of death, and he came back again through this gateway of death, and came back into life on earth here, and lived on the earth after he rose again from the dead. He lived 40 days on this earth and interacted with the same humanity, with the same world which he had left earlier on. So the only person, the only individual, the only human being, the only entity, the only personality who can actually tell us about the exit out of this world into the eternal, into the afterlife and back again, and the only one who has got the correct narrative on how it works, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So when we are talking about the assurance of things hoped for, we are hoping that when we exit, when we leave our bodies, because a human being is a spirit who lives in a body and has got a soul. So your spirit man, your spirit self is the real essence of who you are. You are a spirit and you live in a body. And your spirit is the real you. You are a spirit and your body is just the house which contains you. You are not your body. Which is why the scripture says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Who is there to present your body? It's your spirit man who is there to present your body as a living sacrifice, which means you have to take charge of your body. Your body is the house, the envelope which contains you. So when we are talking about the essence of faith and what faith is, we are talking to the spirit man who is inside your body. We are not talking to your body. Your body is only the conduit, is only the medium through which your spirit hears what's being said. So what's being said is being said in a natural voice, but it is your spirit man who then hears with your ears, the sense of hearing, and you text it into your brain, and you process it in your natural brain, and then through that understanding, it trickles down into your human spirit. So your human spirit uses your body as the medium of communication between this natural world and the spiritual world. So when we are talking of faith, we are talking of the spiritual world, but you need your body in order for you to understand what happens in the spiritual world and then translate that into the spiritual world, which is where your human spirit actually lives. But because of what Adam did, the first man Adam created in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 and 27, he was created as a spirit man. And then he was given a human body in Genesis chapter 2 on verse 7, when God formed out of the dust of the earth, he formed the body of Adam, and he then downloaded the body of Adam. He downloaded the spirit of Adam into the body which he had created. And that union between the spirit of Adam and the body from the dust of the earth gave Adam what is called a living soul. He became a living soul. So the same is with yourself, my friend. Your spirit self came from God. We know this from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 on verse 7. It says the dust, your flesh shall return to the dust where it came from, but your spirit will return to God who gave it. So your spirit man came to God. At what time during conception does your spirit enter into the body which is being formed in your mother's womb? We don't know that. These are some of the things we have no clue how they happen. And we have no need to know them, because they are, even if we knew them, they are of no benefit to us. What we need to know is that now that we are here, what are we going to do with ourselves? What we're going to do with ourselves is going to acquire knowledge of why are we here? What is it that we are required of to be here? What is the meaning of being on this earth? For the period that we are on this earth, what are we supposed to do? And what is it that we are supposed to accomplish? And all this is what faith is all about. And then the understanding that you are a spirit who lives in a body, and the union between your body and your spirit gives rise to the soul. The soul is only a third entity. Like when you mix blue and red, you get purple. And if you remove the blue and the red, the purple is no longer there. So your soul, which is the essence of your personality, your intellect, and your emotions, and the seat of your emotions, that is actually just a result of your body and your spirit being in a marriage. So that union between your body and your spirit man is what gives birth to the soul. So your job as an individual born on this earth, your job, my friend, is to make sure that whilst you are still in the union of your body and your spirit, what's required for you to do is that your human spirit should come to the saving knowledge of Christ, so that you may be made alive. You may be made alive. And this is the essence of what faith is, because this is what Jesus came to do. Now, he says, and on Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that this God exists, that he exists, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have faith in what? You have faith in the identity, first of all, the identity of Jesus Christ. The first port of call is that you need to know that you are a spirit who lives in a body and have got a soul. Now, when you start getting the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you begin with the identity of Jesus Christ. Who is this Jesus Christ? The Jesus Christ is obviously the savior of the world, but was he always the savior of the world? No. He has not always been the savior of the world. The scripture says in the book of John chapter 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that is where to begin. Without believing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is actually, he existed as the Word of God before he came to the earth, then you really don't believe him.
So in the beginning was the Word. Jesus, before he came to this earth, he existed in the spiritual heaven as the Word of God. And God and his Word are one thing. Just as your voice and yourself cannot be separated, it's one thing. So your voice and yourself, you are one. You cannot be said, this is your voice here, and this is yourself there, and these two are not one thing. They are not the same thing. No. Your voice and yourself are one entity. You cannot be separated from your voice. So Jesus, before he came to the earth, he existed in the spiritual heaven as the Word of God. He was not called Jesus there because in heaven there is no need for a savior. There is no need for salvation there. And then this Word, it says in John chapter 1 verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Which means he came to the earth and took upon the body of a man which was being formed for him in the womb of Mary, and he entered that body and he became a human being and started living upon this earth. So this is what you got to believe about the identity of Jesus. And then thirdly, you got to believe that when he had now taken up the Word of God, had taken a human body, for what purpose? Why did he do this? He did this because he had come to be a lamb of sacrifice. He says in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." Why did he need to come to be the lamb of sacrifice? He needed to come to be the lamb of sacrifice because back in the book of Genesis, when Adam sinned, when Adam and his wife sinned, they died spiritually and they were taken hostage by the devil. And the devil said, in order for these individuals to be released, in order for humanity to be released from my captivity, I need a human sacrifice. I need like for like. I cannot be persuaded by the blood of goats and chickens to let humans go because it's not the same value. I'm not going to be cheated. And so God sent his Word, which took upon the body of a human being so that he could have pure blood which he did not share in the death of Adam, so that this blood could be sacrificed and the hostage situation which the devil had of humanity could be satisfied, so that the devil lost his power to take human beings to hell, which is why John chapter 1:29 says, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world," because he had got to come to be in that manner. And then on verse 30, Jesus himself in John chapter 10, verse 30, he said that, "I and my Father are one." And this same Jesus, he says, "I am the good shepherd. I have come to lay my life down. I lay my life for the sheep." So he is the good shepherd. He is one with the Father. And in John 17 verse 3, Jesus was praying and he said that he prayed that humanity may come to know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom God had sent. So this is the identity of Jesus Christ, of Jesus, because before he was crucified on the cross, he was not Jesus Christ, he was just Jesus, because the Christ is the anointed one, and that happens after he's resurrected from the dead and declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. So the identity of Jesus, you got to know the identity of Jesus before the cross and the identity of Jesus Christ after the cross. And this is part of what your faith is about. So before the cross, he was the Lamb of Sacrifice. After the cross, he became the Savior. He became the when he says, "I am the truth, the way, and the life. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life," in John 14 verse 3. He was talking of his identity now after he's resurrected from the dead, because he could not be the life before he is resurrected from the dead. And in Acts chapter 3 on verse 15, he is described as the Prince of Life. And in first in the book of John, in the book of John chapter 15, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches, which means he is the source of life. And we know again from John 15 45 that he says that he is the life-giving spirit, and this happens after he rises from the dead. So this is the identity of who Jesus is, who Jesus was and who Jesus is and continues to be. And now you also got in your faith, you got to also understand his mission. What was his mission? His mission was, as we have said earlier, to be the lamb of sacrifice so that he could offer a pure blood to stop the devil taking humanity to sin. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he says, he feed the church of God, which is purchased with his own blood. And in verse 18 of Revelation chapter 1, he says, I have got the keys of hell and of death. I am he that is alive and was dead. I've overcome death and I'm alive again, and I've got the keys of hell and of death, you see. So we know again from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 that in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So that is his mission. His assignment is also an important thing, because he came to rescue and save they which are lost, and to save a lost humanity by the resurrection from the death of Adam, which is why his assignment is confirmed in John 3 verse 16, where he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that the only begotten son means his only resurrected son, so that whosoever believes in him could have what? Life. And John 10 verse 10, he says, I have come that you may have life and have this life to the full. And in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, he says, behold, when one is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away and all things are become new. And that word new specifically means especially in freshness, properly so in respect of age, you see. You have got to be born again. So you become born again. You become a new baby, spiritually speaking, because your spirit man is born dead in the death of Adam. But when the grace of Christ finds you, he resurrects your spirit man from the death of Adam, which we are born with from our mother's womb, which is the first death. And then the first resurrection is that resurrection from the death of Adam. So when we are resurrected from the death of Adam, this is what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, that when one is in Christ, you know, he's not talking about your body, because your body doesn't become new. Because if you had a tattoo, if you had some injuries, maybe your leg was amputated or whatever happened to you, you are bald, you don't have any hair, or you are short, you maybe are not tall, and all these kind of things, that is not going to change. What has changed is your spirit man on the inside. Your spirit is the one that has become new in respect of age. It means, spiritually speaking, your spirit has become a newborn baby. But that newness of life is the one which has come from the resurrection of Christ, imparting holiness and life on your spirit man, and therefore you are now a new creature. You are born as a man, but when you are found by the gospel, you become a new creature. And that is what faith is all about. You got to have faith that when the gospel finds you, you become a new creature. But there is a procedure unto salvation. Just knowing that Jesus was the lamb of sacrifice, that he's become the life-giving spirit, that he purchased us with his own blood so that we don't have to go to hell, that he resurrected us from the death of Adam so that we can have the resurrection life of Christ in our human spirit whilst we are still walking on this earth before we die away biologically. Knowing that on its own is not enough. You got to then be baptized in water in the name of Jesus, not in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and dunked in the water three times and so forth. Which means that if you don't have the correct doctrine of Christ to know what he has come to do, that he has come primarily to resurrect your dead human spirit from the death of Adam into the life of the resurrection of Christ, that is his assignment, that is his mission, by first being the lamb of sacrifice and then by raising from the dead to become the savior. So before he died, he was the lamb of sacrifice. And then after the cross, when he resurrects from the dead, he becomes the savior. He becomes the savior. And when he's in the savior office, that is when he makes people new. That is when he resurrects people from the death of Adam. So if you don't know these things, my friend, even if you are doing whatever you're doing at your church, you are still spiritually dead. Because having the correct doctrine and understanding the mission and the assignment of what Jesus came to do is what what faith is all about. So if your understanding of what faith is wrong and is not according to what we are declaring here, it means then you still need to be born again, my friend. You cannot be, you cannot have the assurance of salvation. You cannot be sure that you are going to heaven, because if you don't know about what the death of Adam is, and you don't know what the resurrection of Christ is, the first resurrection is, and you cannot explain it, it means you don't have it. And if you don't have it, even though you are sincere and you've been going to church, or maybe you even went to Bible school, it still means that you are spiritually dead in the death of Adam. And the procedure unto salvation, which is firstly, you need to acquire the correct doctrine, the correct understanding of Scripture. And then you got to go through the correct baptism. And then thirdly, you got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit now has permission and authority, legally speaking, to take over everything that concerns you and empower you to be a victor over the circumstances of life. The title deeds are transferred over to the Holy Spirit, which means your body, your human spirit, your body, and all the issues of your life are now given over to Christ Jesus in his office as the Savior. And when he's operating in his office as the Savior, he is in his dimension as the Holy Spirit, which is why he says he will take of what is mine and make it known unto you. So, my friend, this is the correct way to be saved. This is the correct way to understand faith. You got to understand the identity of Christ, the mission of Christ, and the assignment of Christ, and you got to apply that correctly in your life. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. So, if you don't have the correct doctrine and you are not continuing in it, it means you are not saved and you are not going to be able to save even those who are hearing you. So, what type of doctrine do you believe, my friend? What type of faith do you have? I hope, my friend, that you've got the correct type of faith.
And we're going to go to another song. And as we continue on the subject of faith, we're going to hear a song called What Is It to Believe? And it is again the sounds of Ruth and Boaz singing for us, What Is It to Believe?
Grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
What does all this mean? The gift of grace is the ability to believe by faith in the finished work of Christ in your heart.
What is it that person is supposed to believe by faith?
A person has to believe that Jesus died on the cross at Golgotha, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to scripture.
A person must believe that Jesus died on the cross to put away sin and to put an end to the Old Testament laws and to bring about the beginning of the New Testament.
A person has to believe that Jesus died on the cross as a sin offering for all humanity, and that he rose again from the dead back to life again
for all humanity.
Jesus Christ defeated death, hell, and the grave to ensure that all that believe in him shall not perish in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven.
What is it that a person is supposed to believe?
Believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and his ascension into heaven
also resurrects your human spirit from the spiritual death which the first human being, Adam, gave to all humanity. This is what it means to be born again.
It is your human spirit which receives this new spiritual birth. This spiritual rebirth by the power of the Holy Spirit is the only quality which qualifies your human spirit to become a child of God.
Having become a child of God means Jesus Christ becomes your spiritual father and eternal king. This is the essence of what it means to
in our continued discussion concerning the aspect and the subject of faith, we are saying, are you sure that you've got faith? That thing you're calling faith, is it actually faith? In what are you having faith? What is the essence of your faith? In what is it best? Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says, for God has dealt unto each one the measure of faith. The measure of faith, which means the measure of faith, is a definite article. It's a defined thing. It cannot be abstract. It cannot be a spectrum of faith. It's got to be defined. So faith, we said, it is essentially the reliance upon Christ Jesus for salvation, so that we are sure that we are not going to hell. Why? Because of what Jesus did. So if you don't know what Jesus did and you don't know what he's done for you, you are ignorant of his assignment, you are ignorant of his identity, you are ignorant of his mission. And even though you love God with all your heart, but as the scripture says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. John 17 verse 3 says, Jesus prayed that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he have sent. So if you don't have that knowledge which Jesus prayed for, that they may know you, you don't know God, you don't know Jesus, and you think that God and Jesus are two separate things, God is not Jesus, Jesus is not God, that kind of belief. If you don't know him, how can you believe that he is going to give you eternal life in heaven? So do you really have faith? Do you really have faith? If you believe that Jesus is not God and God is not Jesus, then you don't have faith, because Jesus himself says, I and my Father are one. And we know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word continues to be God. He continues to be God even to this day, because in heaven there are three that bear witness. Yeah, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. So Jesus is in heaven as the Word of God. He's not there with his human body, which he had when he was here on the earth. That thing which he went into heaven with, he left it somewhere else in all the other areas and estates of God. We don't know where he left it, but when he entered heaven, he entered as a spirit man, because in heaven it's a spiritual place. There is no bodies there, so he couldn't have taken his body to heaven. So what is it that you believe, my friend, about Jesus? What is it that you believe? So do you really have faith? The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 13, says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now this word blood, it doesn't mean the liquid blood. It means his life, because we know from the book of Leviticus that the life of an animal is in the blood. The life of an animal is in the blood. The life of an animal is the blood. The blood is the life. So when he says by the blood of Jesus, it's literally saying by the life of Jesus, and this is the life which he rose again from the dead with, and that's what it is talking about. So then verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, for he himself, meaning Christ, he is our peace, and he has made us both one, and he has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. You know, he is talking about the flesh, when the flesh of Jesus was on the cross here, when he was crucified on the cross. What did he do when he was crucified on the cross? He took upon the sin of the world into himself. He took upon the world as the lamb of sacrifice. Remember, in the Old Testament, they had two
the two animals for sacrifice, the lamb of sacrifice, and then the goat which was being sent into Mount Azazel as the scapegoat, right? So when Jesus was on the cross, he was acting as our scapegoat. He took upon our sin on himself, and he was made a scapegoat, and he took upon your sin and my sin, and the sin from the sin of Adam into the sin of all the generations to come into the future. He took them upon himself, and he became the scapegoat. And so when he was crucified on that cross, what he was doing is what verse 13 is explaining there, here, that he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace. He made us both one and broken down the in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, which is the hostility between what the flesh desired and what the laws of Moses commanded. There was a hostility there, and what the law wanted could not be accomplished by the flesh, because the flesh is full of the lust of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. That is what the flesh is all about. So the law, although it demanded all these things, it could not equip those who had it and who followed it to be able to please God. So there was always a hostility there, and which is why the law was a killer. So when Jesus came, the scripture says, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both. When he says both, as both, is talking about the Gentiles and the Jews, the Jews had the commandments of God written on tablets of stone, and the Torah of Moses, but the Gentiles, on the other hand, had also been led away by their five senses, their five senses of according to the desires of their flesh, according to the five senses of the flesh. So there was always the hostility. Everywhere you turn, there was hostility. So he has made both the Jews and the Gentiles one. In his flesh in the dividing wall of hostility, which was the law of Moses. It says, verse 15 of Ephesians 2, it says, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, which is the law of Moses here, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. You see, we have access in one spirit to the Father. So we are no longer aliens and strangers to the commonwealth of Israel, because Jesus has destroyed the law of Moses. We see that again in Colossians chapter 2, that he took the law of Moses out of the way. So if you are tithing, my friend, if you are still tithing is of the law of Moses. I know they tell you that, tithing is not of the law. Tithing is not of the law. We follow Abraham, and they are lying when they say that we follow Abraham, because Abraham himself never tithed. The person who tithed was, his name was Abraham, who tithed to Melchizedek, you see. So by the time his name was changed to Abraham, he had already paid tithe to Melchizedek. So they are lying to you that we follow Abraham, because Abraham never tithed. It was Abraham who tithed. Now, even if they say we follow Abraham, now Abraham was circumcised. Why don't they also teach circumcision today? When you say to them, why don't you teach circumcision as well? They say, that circumcision is now circumcision of the heart, so we don't need to be physically circumcised. Okay, all right, I give you that. Let's use that same standard. What about the tithing? Oh, no. Tithing was not figurative. It was not a type. It was not an allegory. It was not anything. You got to bring physical money. You see, so they are contradicting themselves. When it comes to circumcision, they say it was figurative, it was a type of something. We don't need to do that today. But when it comes to the tithing, they say, no, we got to take it literally. Why are you chopping and changing? You got to keep the same standard. And moreover, when you say that tithing is not of the law, you are lying, because you end up talking about Malachi chapter 3. Oh, you steal from me. Malachi is part of the law of Moses. So how can you say tithing is not of the law when you end up reading Malachi chapter 3? Anyway, so you're contradicting yourself. And moreover, the master himself in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, he was admonishing the religious leaders of the day. And he says, you tithe of all these spices and everything else, but you have neglected the weightier matter of the law. Weightier, which means you are saying tithing is a lighter matter of the law, and the weightier matters of the law, which is justice, love, and faith, and all these are the weightier matters of the law. So you can see that Jesus was putting tithe on the same scale of the law. He was saying it is of the law, but it is a lighter matter, and there are weightier matters of the law. So when your pastor says we don't tithe according to the law because it is not of the law, it is of Abraham, they are lying to you, and they are calling Jesus a liar, because in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus himself, the God of heaven who became a man, declared that tithing was indeed of the law. So if you are tithing, my friend, you are not of faith, and because you are not of faith, you are in danger of getting lost. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18, he says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So when one is in Christ, he's become a new creature. You become a new creature by the resurrection from the death of Adam. And he says, all things are of God, who has reconciled to himself and got the ministry of reconciliation, which means he's after your human spirit. When he says in John chapter 4, 24, to that woman at the well, he said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that is, this is what it is talking about, my friend. And verse 19, he talks about of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he talks about to it that God was in Christ unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray in Christ's stead. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. Leave these things aside of chasing after the laws of Moses, thinking that you're gonna please God by the laws of Moses. Jesus is the husband of the church, my friend. Jesus is the husband of the church. So if you are still married to Moses, if a woman marries another man whilst her husband is still alive, she's called an adulterer. But if her husband dies, then she's free to marry another man. This is the Romans chapter 7. So, if to you Moses is still alive and you are still paying tithe, and you are saying Jesus is the church is the bride of Christ, which means are you married to two husbands? Are you committing adultery with big old Moses and you are cheating on Christ? My friend, do you actually have faith? Do you have faith? I doubt it, because if you're still tithing, it means you don't have faith, because everybody who is tithing is actually not of faith, but they are a hostage of fear. They fear that if they don't tithe, then God is going to be, he's not going to rebuke the devourer, he's not going to bless them, and therefore out of fear of not being blessed and running a curse over their lives, they tithe and they do all these things in order for them to think that we can be free then from the curse of God. But my friend, it is not like that. It's not supposed to be like that. So the if we continue reading again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, because remember the essence of faith, what is faith? Faith is belief that Jesus rose again from the dead. That is the standard of faith. That is the measure of faith which is spoken of in Romans 12 verse 3, that God has given unto each one the measure of faith, because it is the same measure of faith which he used in Romans chapter 1 on verse 4, where Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. So the resurrection from the dead is our standard of faith. So 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 12, he says, talking about now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and without faith it is impossible to please God. So faith in what? Where is this faith? How do you measure the faith? Where do we find it? How do we keep it? How do we know we have it? Where is it? Where can it be found? How can it be identified? I am saying to you, my friend, that it can be identified through the scriptures, because scripture explains scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 12 says, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. He raised from the dead. How can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. You see now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if there is no resurrection from the dead, the scripture says, then your faith is in vain, because you don't believe that Jesus raised from the dead. And what does it mean that Jesus raised from the dead? It means that he was crucified on the cross and then died and went to hell and came back to life again. What does it mean that he was crucified on the cross? It means that when he was on that cross, he ended the law of Moses. He ended the law of Moses. So by ending the law of Moses, he came back to life. And this is what we need to be standing on, my friend, that the resurrection from the dead is the essence of our faith. Because if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ is raised from the dead. And if Christ has not been raised, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 on verse 14. He says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. You see, so without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without believing that Jesus conquered the death and hell, defeated and removed the law of Moses out of the way and defeated the devil and came back to life again through the resurrection from the dead, your faith is in vain. Your faith is in vain. So do you have faith, my friend? Do you really have faith? Are you still paying tithe? Are you still paying first fruit? Are you still ceding to the anointing of the man of God? No, 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 my friend. Everything has got to be and to do with the resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ. And verse 15 says, we are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Ha! 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Aha. So even if you are paying your tithe and you are believing in Moses, you are not believing that Jesus has been raised from the dead, because what removes your sin is the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So then those who have been fallen asleep or have died in Christ have perished. And if Christ, if in Christ we hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have, and he is the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, which is by Adam came death, and by a man called Jesus, who came in his as the Lamb of Sacrifice, which takes away the sin of the world, in his mission he came as a Lamb of Sacrifice. So verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, for as by one man death came death, and by a man, Jesus, the Lamb of Sacrifice, came also the resurrection of the dead, when Jesus himself raised from the dead. For as in Adam all die, also in Christ all shall be made alive. Adam killed every human being by eating from the tree of death, and therefore every human being is born spiritually dead. But when you come to faith in Christ's finished work, it says, also in Christ shall all be made alive, all who believe correctly. We have the correct faith that Jesus rose again from the dead and can no longer have a spiritual father or who lives on this earth and can no longer have anybody else as anything but Jesus and Jesus alone. Call no man father but only Jesus. But each one in his order, Christ the first fruit, and then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put his enemies under his foot. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. He is destroying that death, because that death is the second death, which is going to be put in the lake of fire. And when that those who are dead, if you don't resurrect in Christ before you die on this earth, then it means you still have the death of Adam in you. And that death of Adam will be placed in the lake of fire, and that is the second death, and that is how that death is going to be destroyed. For God has put all things in subjecting under his feet, but when it says all things has been put in subjecting under his feet, it is plain that he is expected who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself, Jesus, will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him. This is talking about the transition between the kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of God. So we can see, my friend, that the issue of faith has got to do with the resurrection from the dead. So the question is, do you have faith? Do you have faith? Do you have faith? But some will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of the body do they come? You foolish person, it says in the scriptures, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and what you sow is not the body that is to be, but bare grain, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and each kind of seed in his own body. For not all flesh is the same. There is flesh of humans and the others, animals, of birds and of fish. There are heavenly bodies and bodies, earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is one kind, and the glory of the earth is another. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown perishable is raised imperishable. So you came to the earth as a dead, spiritually dead person, but when you are found by the gospel and your spirit man is raised from the death of Adam, you become, your spirit man now has the resurrection life of Christ in it, and you are no longer going to suffer the second death. And verse 40 5 says, the first man Adam became a living being when his body and his spirit man were made together, in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. But the last Adam, which is the resurrected Jesus Christ, says, became the life-giving spirit. It is not that is spiritual that came first, but the natural and then the spiritual, which is the same with you, my friend. You are born dead in the death of Adam, but after you come to the saving knowledge of the truth, you now know that there is life. There is resurrection life in Christ Jesus, and you can escape the death which Adam gave you before you were born. So when we read again verse 47 of this 1 Corinthians 15 says, the first man was of the earth and a man of dust, the second man from heaven, which is Jesus, and as was the first of dust, so also are those of the dust, and as of the men of heaven, so also are those of heaven. So it's comparing Adam and Jesus, and those who are saved in the correct faith and those who are not saved in the correct faith. Jesus, just as the as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we are born in the death of Adam, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven, which is Jesus Christ. And this is the essence of our faith, my friend. So your faith has got nothing to do with you paying your tithe and being faithful to the church and sweeping the church and wearing a church uniform and being confirmed and catechism and all this kind of thing, and having a spiritual father and sowing to the anointing of the man of God and having a church uniform and doing all these things of earthly things. No. Faith is a spiritual. Faith is a spiritual. In essence, it's got to do with your human spirit, which is born dead in the death of Adam. And if your human spirit is not raised to life, to the resurrection life of Christ, whilst you are still here on this earth before you die the third death, the biological death, then you are going to die dead in Adam. And if you die dead in Adam, your destiny is the lake of fire. There is no two ways about it. That's what the scripture says. So my question to you, my friend, is, do you actually have faith? We go again back to the scripture. It says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead shall be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on an immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Huh? You see, so those preachers who are still teaching the law of Moses today, including the law of tithing, they are actually keeping people under the power of sin. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law of Moses and any other law out there. But any other religious law out there. But thanks be unto God who gives us victory through our resurrected God, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. He says, in the Lord your labor is not in vain. He doesn't say your labor in the Lord is not in vain. No, because then your labor becomes whatever you want. He says, in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So make sure that whatever labor you are doing it in the Lord, because that's how it becomes not in vain. So finally, my brothers, let me say this to you, that in Ecclesiastes 12:7, he says, then shall the dust return to the earth. When he talks about the dust, it's referring to your human body. Your human body, when you die, the biological death, which is the third death, is going to go back to the body. And the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Now, this is where your faith comes in now. Because this faith is what is required, because without faith it is impossible to please God. When are you going to please God? When do you please him? You're gonna please him in essence at the day of judgment. On the day of judgment is when you're going to please God. Without faith it is impossible to please God, for they that come to God before on judgment day must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the seeking of God and the diligence of trying to find this truth about God is done whilst you're still in your body, whilst you're still in your flesh, whilst you're still in your human being, in your human body, my friend. This is the time to make sure that the marriage between your spirit man and your body is actually fruitful. Is fruitful, because as long as your body remains barren like Sarah, yourself as your spirit man, being a type of Abraham, will not have an Isaac. And Isaac is a picture of Christ. The scripture says, I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Your Christ is not going to be formed in you, because that formation of Christ in you, for that to happen, it needs your human body to be fruitful, and it needs your human spirit to know the correct doctrine, to have the correct faith of who Jesus is, and then the image of Christ can be formed in you. If that does not happen, you are going to die barren. And if you die barren, then you are not going to be pleasing unto God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says, for we must all stand before the judgment of seat of Christ to be judged for things done in the body, whether good or evil. And this is my encouragement, my friend. Have got the correct faith? Do you have the correct faith? Do you really have faith? We would very much like to hear from you. Please do get in touch with us on UK number 07460 670044. Send text, WhatsApp, Telegram, or email us on roadofcorrection.tv@gmail.com.
Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.